Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Wednesday, January 29th edition of the MAOB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. Quite a bit to talk about today. Once again, not 100% yet, so my voice is not going to be as powerful, I guess, as it usually is. So please keep that in mind, but I'm definitely going to try my best to get through the show. All right, so we'll start with Weili Zhang. So Joanna Janjacek posted a meme the other day, really distasteful. Basically, she posted a picture of herself and Zhang, and Joanna was wearing a gas mask. We all know what's going on in China right now with the coronavirus outbreak. It's killing people. You know, there's thousands of people that are sick. It's a terrible, terrible illness. And to me, it was, I know some people found it funny. To me, it was really in bad taste. I'd like to say I have a good sense of humor. I personally don't like jokes about when people are dying, especially when, like, you know, children are dying. To me, it's kind of distasteful. So I know some people found it funny, but I know Zhang obviously was bothered by it. She posted a very classy response, basically said, you know, you can say what you want, but we'll meet inside the octagon. Since then, Joanna's actually posted a really half-assed apology, where basically she acknowledged that it wasn't bad taste, but she said it was a meme. It was just supposed to be funny. And she basically said, don't get too emotional about it to Weili. So, you know, to me, it was kind of a half-assed apology. Again, I know some people find this funny, but it's a little distasteful. It's kind of like people joking about Kobe Bryant dying right now. Like, to me, it's like, just wait a bit if you're going to joke about that. We saw Ari Shaffir joking about that, and he's getting absolutely destroyed on his Twitter. He's losing fans by the minute because of the joke he made. So to me, it's like, I understand, you know, people find this kind of humor funny, dark humor, but I think there's a time and place for it. And right now, with people literally dying by the day in China from this coronavirus, I just think it wasn't a very nice joke by Joanna. So, you know, it's nice to see Zhang at least have a classy response to it. But for Joanna, like, you know, she used to be so well-liked, and I don't know, I feel like she kind of loses fans. Let's see what Kevin Scott says. Joanna posting that meme was funny. What happened to people's ability to take a joke or just ignore jokes they don't like? See, I know what you're saying, Kevin. I know some people like yourself will find it funny. For me, like, it doesn't affect me personally, but I know that if you lived in China and like your like brother or sister died from this, would you find that funny? You wouldn't. So to me, there's just a time and place for these kind of things. I can maybe waiting a little bit, maybe until this virus is kind of cleared out to make that joke. But at the height of the virus where thousands of people are in the hospital right now, like, to me, it's not the right time to make the joke. Again, I'd like to say I have a decent sense of humor, but, you know, I just feel like there's a time and place for anything. I can see why some people find it funny, but I can see why people would find it offensive. Obviously, Zhang kind of just took it on the chin, and she's going to let it go. But you can see why there's a lot of, especially Asian MMA fans, they're very offended by this. And I think you can see why, Kevin. All right, next thing here, Ilya the TV, he spoke to my buddy Cole Sheldon over at BJPenn.com. And he gave him a nice tidbit here. Alexander Gustafsson, we know that he retired last year after Anthony Smith submitted him in Sweden. And now Ilya Latifi says we'll see Gustafsson in the cage soon, which is a good thing for the light heavyweight division because Gus is one of the best guys in the world. He obviously is not the guy he once was, the guy who fought Jones at UFC 165 in Toronto, which is arguably the greatest fight of all time. He's not that same guy anymore. But he's still a top 10 guy in that division, in my opinion. I think he beats a lot of the guys in that division. So I think this is a great thing for light heavyweight. I don't know who he'd fight, but there's got to be some good matchups for him. I should also mention that Jimmy Manuwa, another guy who retired, he's mentioned recently that he could come back. He's teased about it. There's some speculation he could be fighting at UFC 248 against Anthony Johnson in a heavyweight fight. I've heard that as a rumor. I don't know if it's true or not, but I have heard that as a rumor, which would be a great fight, obviously. I don't know if it's going to happen. But, yeah, I could see Gus and Manuel both coming back. Maybe there's a card in Sweden coming up, too. Like, we don't really know. It's possible they could book a card in Sweden. They obviously both train together at All Stars. So I think that'd be a good card for both those guys to return on. And if Latifi loses to Lewis or even wins that fight, he would make sense in that card, too. So that's kind of my thinking. I mean, we'll see what happens there. But I think a Sweden card with those guys on it makes a lot of sense. All right. I'm going to get into the fight announcements now because there's quite a few of them, guys, the last few days. I got most of the ones for UFC Lincoln yesterday, and then, of course, another one came up last night. But let's get right into them. So UFC 247, Diego Lima got hurt, and now Alex Morono will be fighting Kalen Williams at UFC 247. So Williams, obviously, is making his UFC debut. We don't know a lot about him, of course. Morono is a pretty solid fighter, 17-5-1, no contest record. And in the UFC, he is 6-2-1, no contest. I think this guy's a really good fighter, very underrated. He's on a 3-fight win streak at the moment. He's a guy that, you know, he doesn't really look like a fighter, but man, he can fight. So to me, he's a guy that a lot of people kind of sleep on this division, but he's won 3 straight fights. And a lot of time he's an underdog too. Probably won't be the case here when he takes on Kalen Williams. Williams is making his debut. He's 9-1. He's 25 years old. This guy, again, you know, these guys, some of these guys have only been training or fighting as professionals for 2 years in the UFC, or even a year in some cases. He's been fighting as a pro since April 2017. He's already in the UFC. So this guy's obviously made a really quick rise in the sport. 9-1. He's on a 6-fight win streak. He does have a couple notable wins. He beat Jeremy Holloway, who's a former Bellator veteran, and Tony Hervey, who's a veteran in the Canadian fight scene. So he does have a couple notable wins. Honestly, like, I wouldn't be shocked if this guy did pull off the upset, because Morono's not like an amazing fighter by any means, but just the fact Morono did have a full camp and he does have a lot of UFC experience should help him get the win, but definitely an interesting fight. All right, next up, we got UFC Rio Rancho. Ramazan Ameev is out. He's injured. Tim Means will not be fighting Daniel Rodriguez, who's taking the fight on short notice. You guys know I love Tim Means. Love the Dirty Bird. Guy's awesome. He's 35 years old now, but he's still fighting at a high level. He's coming off a really big win over Thiago Alves by submission. Basically, Alves retired him from the UFC, so it was a huge win for Tim Means. He's been in the UFC twice. He has a winning record in the octagon. He has, you know, been a little consistent the last few years, just 2-3 over his last 5 fights, but definitely some nice wins during his time in the UFC, like the Alves win, Alex Garcia, the John Howard fight, the knockout back in 2015. It's been a while since then, but my God, that was a crazy knockout. So he's got some decent wins in his career, but generally he does lose when he steps up in competition. But in this case, you know, Daniel Rodriguez is a guy, he's a contender series veteran, but he has no UFC experience. Pulling his record over here. He did win his fight in the contender series last year. He's 10-1 in his career, 9-1 actually. And he's coming off a 5-fight win streak, and his last win was Rico Farrington on the contender series. He's 33, though, so he's not like a young guy by any means. He's a 10th planet guy, so he might have a good submission game. But, man, the fact that he's 33, like, that surprises me a little bit. You got to go with Tim Means here. I mean, full camp, more experience. He's going to be fighting close to home in New Mexico. Like, I really like Tim Means in the spot. The odds are not out for this one, but they haven't. We have to think that the Tim Means would be a decent-sized favorite. All right, let me get to some more comments before I get to the rest of the fight announcements. Randy Guerrero, social media, Kevin Scott. Kevin Scott, I am fine with someone thinking it's not funny. Humor is subjective, but offensive. I was obviously a joke. I understand the concept of being offended. I was intended to be a joke. Like Patrice O'Neill once said, jokes you like and jokes you don't like all come from the same place. Randy, you thought it was funny. Fair enough. I mean, like I said, I know some people find it was funny. Like, to me, it was, like, it doesn't bother me, but I can see why people wouldn't find it funny too. Bad MF, Barone switched gyms, I think. Rio in his last fight, he is trending up. Yeah, he's good, man. He is definitely a solid fighter. I think he's really good. All right, next up, Shayna Dobson versus Priscilla Cachoeira at UFC Auckland. So Rachel Ostovich was supposed to take this fight, but she pulled out. She pulled out of quite a few fights. I know that some fans were going after her on her social media, and she said that she is truly injured. But to me, she barely fights, doesn't even have a winning record. Like, we all know why she's in the UFC. She's, like, really attractive, but she barely fights. So to me, like, she's got to start fighting more often. Like, the UFC might, she might become like Paige VanZant, just become irrelevant at some point. But anyways, Shayna Dobson, 3-3, her UFC record's a losing record, 1-2, back-to-back losses, Sabino Mazo and Laura Mueller. But at least this is a fair matchup against Priscilla Cachoeira, who is just, you know, coming off not some good performances, 3 straight losses, lost to Luana Carolina, lost to Molly McCann, lost to Valentina Shevchenko. The Shevchenko fight, my God, that was a brutal fight. Overall, 8-3, so she does have more experience than Shayna Dobson, but the 3 losses in the UFC obviously aren't a good thing. I do actually think she might be able to win this fight, though. I just don't think very highly of Shayna Dobson, so I think Cachoeira can actually win this fight, but definitely a close fight. It could go either way. Next up, we got Mofsar Evlov versus Douglas Silva de Andrade at UFC 248. This is a fun fight. Both these guys are very good. Mofsar Evlov is a very good prospect, fighting over Russia. He's a bantamweight, 12-0, 2-0 in the UFC. Beat Sung Woo Choi in his debut. Beat Enrique Barzola. I've been very impressed with this guy. He has not got a finish yet, but I think it's coming soon. This could be the fight. Maybe not, though. I mean, Douglas Silva de Andrade is another guy who's very underrated by a lot of people. He's a good fighter. He's coming off a good win over Henan Barão in his last fight, so that was a good win for him. Overall, he's 4-3 in the UFC. I think he's moving back to bantamweight for this fight. The last fight was at featherweight, but yeah, it should be an interesting fight. I mean, this guy is pretty good. He has a win over Marlon Vera just 2 years ago, so he's solid. I think I got a favor of Love just a little bit, just because I think he's a little bit more well-rounded, but Drage is definitely a solid striker, and he could win this fight. Next up, UFC London, Kevin Holland against Jack Marshman. Interesting fight again. Kevin Holland, he's been a little bit disappointing in the UFC as well. He's just, he's 3-2. His two losses to pretty good fighters. Thiago Santos, obviously, is a great fighter. And then Brandon Allen, decent prospect. He does have some good wins. Gerald Meerschaert, great win. Alessio De Chirico and John Phillips as well. So he's got some decent wins. He's taking on Jack Marshman here. Jack Marshman's been a little inconsistent as well in the UFC. He's 3-4. Wins over Magnus Cedenblad, John Phillips, and Ryan James, and losses to Thiago Santos, Antonio Carlos Jr., Carl Robertson, and Edmund Shabazian. He's been finished quite a few times in his career. I got to favor Kevin Holland. Even though the fight's in London, I just think Holland's a better fighter, honestly. So we'll see what happens with this one. I mean, it could be a close line just because it's in London, but I favor Holland quite a bit. I think he does win this fight. Also on that card, this is a really good fight. Mark Diakite against Jay Herbert. Really good fight here. A lot of fans are liking this one. It was supposed to be Diakite against Stevie Ray, but Ray's hurt, so now Jay Herbert's got the chance to fight him. Diakite, solid fighter, 14-3. He's overall in the UFC 5-3, so got a winning record. He had a three-fight losing streak at one point. He's bounced back nicely. Back-to-back wins over Joe Duffy and Lando Venata, so he's starting to show off that potential a lot of us thought he had when he first came in the octagon. But Jay Herbert, man, this guy is solid. We call him the Black Country Banger. 31 years old, 10-1. He's on a 6-fight win streak, coming off a nice knockout over Cain Carrizosa, who's a UFC vet by knee. He's a Cage Warriors champ. Guy's good, man. So this is an interesting fight. I mean, Diakite obviously has the experience. He is a solid fighter. Don't get me wrong, but I think this Jay Herbert guy's got a really good chance to win this fight. So this will be an interesting line. I mean, if Herbert's an underdog, I think a lot of people will start betting on him. So I expect a really close line for this one because the books just can't give away too much plus money to Herbert. Definitely an interesting fight. And finally, at UFC London, we got Shavkat Radmonov. This is a tough name to pronounce, guys. And then Bartosz Vavinsky. So this should be an interesting one as well. Rakhmonov, he's only 25, a Kazakhstan fighter, 12-0. He's a M1 Challenge veteran. Just looking at his record, notable wins, Jung Yong Park, who's in the UFC. That's pretty much his only notable win from what I can see here. Park is coming off a nice win over Marc-Andre Barrio in his last fight. This guy does have quite a few finishes. So an interesting prospect for sure. And then Bartosz Vavinsky, he's been around for a little while in the UFC. Hasn't fought a lot, but he's pretty solid. You know, he's got a well-rounded game. They call him the Butcher. He's 14-3. In the UFC, he's actually 3-1. But again, he's a guy who barely fights. He's been in the UFC since 2015. He's fought 4 times. So he fights less than once a year. And that obviously scares the hell out of me. He's coming off a loss to Michelle Prezeris. Before that, again, I've won 3 straight fights in the UFC, including wins over Emil Mack, Hector Urbina, and Gareth McClellan. I kind of favor the UFC newcomer here, Rakhmonov. I just think he could get the job done. Fabinski's kind of on the decline, I think, at age 33 now. And the last of the new fight announcements that I'm going to get to right now, Christos Giagos versus Alan Patrick at UFC London. So I said there was going to be a lot of fights yesterday for UFC London, but they added another one here. So Christos Giagos, see, you guys know I love bowling. Christos Giagos actually did an article with The Athletic like last year, and he's a huge bowler too. So I love the guy now. I never really thought much about him, but when I saw that, I was like, yes, this guy's awesome. But anyways, yeah, you know, he's actually looked okay in his second stint in the UFC, 2-2. He's got wins over Demir Hadzevich and Mizuto Hirota, losses to Dirk Harkless and Charles Oliveira. First time I saw him in the UFC, he wasn't very impressive, but he has looked a lot better lately. I still don't think he's a great fighter, but he has at least improved. And then Alan Patrick, he's pretty much in the same spot. He's a guy who's been a little inconsistent, Alan Patrick. He's also 36 now, so he's getting really old. He's 5-2 overall in the UFC. Coming off a loss to Scott Holtzman by knockout, which was surprising, was over a year ago as well, so that's not good. You know, Alan Patrick is a good wrestler. I remember that time he told Dana White he wanted a bonus to build his family a house or something. Like, it was sad to hear. The guy's 36 now. He probably hasn't even made that much money since then because he barely fights. I guess I lean towards Giagos a little bit just based on youth, and he's 6 years younger. I think that's a big advantage for him, but Alan Patrick does have pretty good wrestling, so he could win this fight. Let's see if there's any more questions. Guerrero, hope Zhang knocks her out. Yeah, and that's an interesting fight, guys. I'm looking forward to seeing that one. Should be good. Kevin Scott losing to Cage Van Zandt should be an automatic cut from the UFC. Yeah. Cage Van Zandt, I mean, at this point, guys, like, what do you think? Like, I feel like, you know, she's got one more fight left. Now she got injured. She broke her arm again, third time breaking her arm. I think she would obviously want to be released. She would like to go to Bellator where her husband is. I feel like the UFC is going to force her to fight that last fight and to fulfill her contract. But after that, I just can't see her signing back with the UFC. And I think they'll let her go. I think that they'll, you know, they won't match the deal. I think she'll sign with either Bellator or ONE Championship. Kevin Scott, what is Nick Leakes' Instagram? It's Fight Odds. Also at MMAoddsbreaker.com, he's been posting the videos as well. It's pretty cool. I mean, he's going to the casinos. They're allowing him to take the video of him actually playing his bet. He's giving them his money. I think he bet a nickel on Romero the last time. He might have hit him twice. But yeah, it's pretty cool to watch. I mean, Nick's a legit better, so it's cool to see him actually putting the money, you know, where his mouth is. A lot of people say that they bet all this money and that, you know, they're lying about it, but Nick is legit as hell. Terry Crow, SD Dumas will be in the UFC. I don't know too much about him. If you want to let me know, tell me more about him. Nate the Train will be champ 2021. You know, Nate, I think you're talking about Nate Lardwar, who just lost. You know, I was surprised he lost like that. I think he's a pretty good fighter. He just got a little bit too aggressive, a little overconfident, got knocked out. It happens. A lot of guys lose their UFC debut and they come back and bounce back really nicely. So we'll see what happens with him. Bad MF Ramanov. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that. Yeah, my pronunciation is not great. My throat's still a little sore too. So that doesn't help either. But thanks for that insight there. Just trying to see if I missed anything else that I want to talk about. If you guys have any more questions, throw them in here. Let's see here. Well, I talked about this yesterday, but I'll mention it again. The rankings, they came out yesterday. People are just not liking it. It just looks weird when you got fighters like Jessica Eye in the top 15 of a pound-for-pound list. It doesn't really make sense. So kind of weird. Some of you guys are going to love this. Jessica Penny and Beck Rawlings are offering premium content on OnlyFans subscription service. So I don't know too much about the site, but from what I've heard, I think they post like naked pictures and you pay like $20 a month. If that's your cup of tea. I mean, I wouldn't do it, but if you guys, you know, are really into Beck Rawlings or Jessica Penne, then, you know, you could sign up for their services, I guess. At least, like, you know, they're making some money outside of fighting, especially Penne. She needs to make money because her career is pretty much over now due to USADA and her issues with them. What else? I think that's about it, guys. If anyone has any last-second questions, throw them in there. More tributes to Kobe Bryant come out. Israel Adesanya praising the Mamba mentality, you know, and Kobe's obviously the basketball player he was, but his star and just the way he carries, so I think really transcends to other sports. So, you know, you see a lot of these fighters that, like, especially Adesanya, he's like, we don't play basketball ever, but, you know, he knows who he is and what he means to sports. Kevin Scott, can I pay Beck Rawlings to put more clothes on? That's so funny, Kevin. Oh my God. Kevin, if you have any more questions, throw them in there right now. I'm just going to see if there's anything else I missed again. But I think that's going to be good for today. Yeah, just looking at the news, a lot of people are just not really happy with Joanna right now. Again, you know, I can see why people find it funny, but I can see why people find it offensive too. So, you know, you're either on one side or the other. There's no real in the middle. I guess I am. Oh, I forgot this. Josh Thompson retired. This is one thing I forgot to mention. Yeah, Josh Thompson, longtime UFC veteran, has retired. And Bellator veteran has retired from MMA. Strikeforce veteran. I love the punk. He was really, to me, one of the best lightweights in the world. I think he was extremely underrated in his career. Retires at age 41, 22, 9-1, no contest. He obviously is still in the game. He's doing a podcast with John McCarthy. Great podcast, weighing in. He does commentary for Bellator. I have a lot of respect for Josh Thompson, man. He's been around forever. He fought in the UFC in the early days. He fought in the later days. He's got some big wins in his career. Knocked out Nate Diaz with a head kick. I mean, who does that, right? He beat Gilbert Melendez. And then early in his career, he had wins in the UFC in the early, early days, like UFC 44, 45. Now we're at UFC 244. Think about it. We just passed it. So he's been around forever. Nothing but respect for Josh Thompson. He's a great fighter, underrated. And, you know, a lot of these losses he had, like the Melendez fight, Benson Henderson, Bobby Green, split decisions. They could have went either way, especially that third Melendez fight. That trilogy they had, that was an incredible trilogy. It really was. Let's see here. A couple more questions and I'll get out of here. Can Shiro Rio Doji, the problem is you can have an OO record as a female fight pro MMA and Bellator 1 FC pretty easily. Yep, it's true. And Kevin Scott, Frankie Edgar mentioned only one fight left in his contract. I didn't see that, Kevin, but if that's the case, I still expect him to sign with the UFC. I mean, I guess he could talk to Bellator, but the UFC treats him pretty good. I mean, they give him a lot of main events where he really doesn't serve them. They pay him pretty well. I think Frankie's a lifer, man. I don't see him leaving, but then again, a lot of guys that, you know, we all thought were lifers could leave. And the one last thing I'll mention, and I have no idea if this is true or not, but I know that Middle Easy the other day posted a rumor that Golden Boy MMA could come back with one more card, and it could be Tito Ortiz or Stan Henderson. Again, I have no idea if this is true or not. It could be just BS, but they did post the rumor. Dan Henderson versus Tito. I mean, I guess I'd watch it. I mean, why not, right? But to me, Dan Henderson, if he comes back, he should just fight for Bellator. I think that makes a lot of sense for him. The guy was still competitive at the end of his UFC days, but he is in his late 40s now, and Tito obviously is as well. So that'd be interesting if it happens. Again, that's just a complete rumor, but they did post it in their rumor reel. So definitely interesting if it does happen. I think that's going to be it for today, guys. Once again, thanks for tuning in. Actually, one more question here, and this is the last question, guys, so I got out of here. Consider Rear Doji, how do we even make money on UFC 247? There's no good underdog odds, and the matches seem to be pretty fairly matched. Do I have to make a 12-fight favorites parlay? Hey, dude, you actually hit the favorites parlay pretty well. And if you listen to Nick, and he says there's value on Dominic Reyes, so maybe there is. But yeah, I'll break that card down next week with Cole. I haven't got into it completely. I have looked at a few fights. There's a few plays I'm considering, so I'll let you guys know what I like next week. All right, that's it for today, guys. Check me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin, and I'm always available there on Twitter and also at MAOddsBreaker.com. That's the home of the podcast. That's the home of a lot of my articles. I'm also available at DJPen.com, MARatings.net. I hope to be back to 100% by hopefully the rest of this week, but if not, hopefully by Monday. I mean, I'm still a little sore, but yeah, hopefully next week I'll be 100%, guys. Thank you for bearing with me, and I'll be back tomorrow morning for the Thursday edition of the podcast. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Have a great day and appreciate the questions today. Bye.